our new podcast series entitled Making Sense of SenseMaker. SenseMaker is an innovative, versatile, and visual method for understanding the perspectives of people involved in projects implemented by CRS with partner organizations. CRS has been a major contributor to a guide to be published by Practical Action entitled The Learning Power of Listening, a practical guide for using SenseMaker. This method is designed to help us understand the inherent complexity of our work, that is, in environments where the results of an intervention cannot be fully known until after the fact. SenseMaker enriches the use of monitoring and evaluation processes for learning and accountability purposes. The CRS MIL team, with the support of our colleagues working in the communities with whom we have implemented SenseMaker, is pleased to offer this podcast series. We believe that a good way to encourage others to consider using this method in their work is to hear about their field experiences and reflections. In this podcast, Sarah Page, a Baltimore-based livelihoods and land restoration technical advisor, and Jorge Madrigal, who was an agribusiness project manager with CRS Nicaragua for 8 years, and is currently a consultant for the Latin American office, will share their experience with SenseMaker to assess the governance of 17 coffee producer organizations in Central and South America, and the competencies of their management team and board members in managing price risk. Based on the lessons learned using SenseMaker, Sara and Jorge will share with us the details of how they use the method and their learnings in this process, and give us some practical advice. Welcome, Sarah, and welcome, Jorge. It's a pleasure to have you for this podcast, and thank you for your willingness to share your experience. To begin with, we would like you to share with us, how long have you been using SenseMaker, and for what type of projects?
Thank you very much, Veronica, for inviting us to this initiative. In 2015, I was invited to a workshop where they presented the results of an evaluation study on how the beneficiaries of a series of projects implemented in Nicaragua after Hurricane Mitch went from being in a situation of vulnerability to situations of resilience and prosperity. Subsequently, in 2016, I was entrusted with the management of a project called Prepared and Resilient, or PAR, whose main objective was to build resilience in coffee-growing families whose coffee crop was devastated by the rust disease. Since we already had the experience of the 2015 evaluation, the decision was made to use SenseMaker for the baseline and final evaluation of the project.
Thank you very much, Jorge. You really have extensive experience using SenseMaker. Sarah, could you also tell us what you have used SenseMaker for, and especially give us a description of the coffee price risk management project on which we are going to focus our conversation, and explain why SenseMaker was used for that project?
Thanks, Veronica, and also great to be here with both you and Jorge. My first encounter with SenseMaker was for the project we're talking about right now, the price risk management with coffee cooperatives in Latin America. And then more recently, I helped to develop one of the signification frameworks that we used for the governance deep dive for this project, along with Jorge and you, Veronica. So that was a really great experience learning kind of how to build out that signification framework, and then also supported the analysis for the inline evaluation for that project. And similar to Jorge, I've been supporting the competencies assessment in Latin America focused on land restoration competencies with the Water Smart Agriculture Program. To give you a little bit more background on this project, it was a 3-year initiative, and it was led by Oiko Credit in collaboration with both CRS and Fairtrade USA. And it was funded by the Inter-American Development Bank through the SAPE platform. And so the main aim of this initiative was to support coffee producers organizations to address something that's really one of the biggest challenges that coffee farmers face, which is the price volatility of coffee, which is really driven by fluctuations in international supply and demand. So the project looked at capacity building of these organizations so that they could directly implement some of these price risk management strategies, which are often thought as very technical. Historically, the knowledge about price risk management was really concentrated within just a couple people in the organization. But this project really sought to not only build the capacity of board members, but really try to get a broader understanding of why price risk management is important so that there would be more commitment and buy-in to it within the organization. And a major assumption of this project is that the organizations that were participating had a sufficient level of good governance to be able to create an enabling environment for price risk management to be successful. And that's a pretty big assumption to have, because many projects failed in the past, in part because they didn't have that enabling environment. For price risk management to be effective, they need the complete buy-in of members and the board, who is supposed to, you know, represent the membership, to empower management team members to make decisions in a timely manner and have the resources they need to do that. So we wanted to do more of a deeper dive into assessing governance that fell into the realm of complexity, which is why we chose SenseMaker. And then we also used SenseMaker in this project to assess price risk management related competencies to effectively support and implement price risk management. And because that competencies are, you know, essentially behavior changes, we use SenseMaker because that's exactly what it was designed to do.
Thank you very much, Sarah. It is very interesting how SenseMaker has been used in this project, both for governance, which is a very important topic for CRS work, and to see behavioral change, because really, risk management requires important behavioral changes. Jorge, could you expand on your role in this study?
I collaborated with the design of the signification frameworks in setting up these tools in SenseMaker Designer, its validation and field testing, the selection, hiring, and training of facilitators, the planning, logistics, and in supervising the interviews, in the database cleaning, in primary analysis, and I participated in the virtual collective interpretation workshop. In other words, I was involved in most of the process.
Both of you have been heavily involved in this study from start to finish. What insights and learnings were generated using SenseMaker? Were there any findings that surprised you?
Two main things come to mind that could be a good example of the value addition of the SenseMaker methodology to these assessments. So the first example is that at baseline and endline, we assessed the perceived importance of price risk management to the general membership. And we saw that the management team members continued to see a lack of buy-in by the membership. And we also saw that the management team members were feeling like they couldn't make timely decisions, nor did they always have the sufficient resources they needed to implement the strategy effectively. And then this was also linked to a somewhat low percentage of board members who said that they were delegating responsibilities to the management team and assigning resources. So we could kind of, you know, link the behaviors or the actions that board members were taking and some of the feelings of continued constraints that the management team expressed. It was some of these non-technical issues that kind of got into more of the social realm. And the project really didn't focus. The project was extremely technical with regard to the areas where it provided capacity building and didn't really get to that more social part. So we didn't see an improvement necessarily at the end of the project in some areas. And then something else that was kind of interesting is that there was a slider question that asked both management team members and board members if they thought that the membership preferred lower prices, although that they might be more stable, or they preferred to have the highest price possible for their coffee, even though that might imply slightly more risk. And the responses that we got from both groups were all over the length of the slider. And this told us that, you know what? they might not know the preference of the membership. And that's a pretty big problem because they're making these price risk management decisions based on some assumptions. And also the board is supposed to be representing the membership. So there really needs to be more open communication within the organization so that everybody can be clear about expectations and preferences.
Very interesting, Sarah. Jorge, we would love for you to also share with us what you found interesting about the learnings from this study.
In this study, there were many lessons of great relevance for this and future projects. What surprised me most was that in the producer organizations, there's a different balance of power than I expected to find. Since some functions of the board members, such as resource allocation, decision-making, and delegation of functions, fall almost entirely on the management teams. I also observed that although the responses of board members and management teams are closely aligned or related, board members have a more positive assessment of their organizations, which can be attributed to several reasons. It could be that board members have lower expectations than management teams, or are more optimistic about the performance of their organizations, or that they simply handle less information than management teams. And I second what Sarah mentions. I think the most relevant finding for this study was the assessment of the importance given to price risk management. There were two distinct groups for both board members and management teams, one targeting stable prices and one targeting high prices.
Very interesting. Could you tell us what your experience was in the analysis and especially in the communication of the findings?
In this project, we were able to conduct a full interpretation workshop with the members of the various organizations, but we were able to meet with them to present out some of the results. And we really chose to do it in an interactive way. So we would put triads and sliders on the ground and had people stand or put sticky notes where they thought the response was before revealing the result. And then we asked why they thought a response was in that area, why their initial thoughts aligned or didn't align with the actual result. So it was like a really rich, interactive, and engaging way to digest a lot of information and helped people to internalize the information instead of kind of looking passively at a graph on a PowerPoint or something like that.
Very interesting, Sarah. I remember that workshop in Peru. Jorge, do you have anything you would like to add?
Well, qualitative assessments are usually much more complex and difficult to infer. And that is why I consider SenseMaker to be a very powerful methodology, because it allows us to visualize in an attractive and simple way. I could give an example with another project that I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the conversation called Prepared and Resilient. In this project, we were designing and testing a quantitative method to evaluate resilience levels. And this method was extremely complex and costly. And that is why it was decided to discontinue its use. And upon learning of the SenseMaker assessment conducted in 2015, it was decided to use this same tool for the measurement of the resilience of the project. The results of these evaluations could be presented and analyzed with different audiences, achieving a high degree of understanding and analysis, regardless of the different academic levels of the participants.
Very interesting how this evaluation, analysis, and interpretation with these visual tools allows involving so many different actors. As nothing is perfect, there are always certain challenges. What were the main challenges that you faced when using SenseMaker, and how did you address them?
The first challenge was the declaration of the COVID-19 pandemic that coincided with the confinement and mobility restrictions around the world. Many of the study activities had to be performed virtually, and the design of the signification frameworks being one of the few actions that could be performed face-to-face. This gave us a great learning experience in the use of virtual media, for key stages of the SenseMaker evaluation, mainly the training of facilitators, interviewing, and collective interpretation of the results.
Jorge, very interesting what you mentioned about doing these interviews remotely. Could you tell us a little bit more? How was that handled?
This is the first evaluation with SenseMaker in which I have participated that we have used virtual means for the interview. And it's the first evaluation that we have used the web collector. The only, let's say, difficulty we had was that we had to have 100% connection at the time of conducting the interviews. And that the triads, the sliders, that were normally analyzed in a practical way, we had to do it directly on computers, and perhaps that would have been more practical to do in person. But it did not take away from the fact that people understood how these tools worked. I think this is probably a method that we can use in the future, as long as we have access to internet. The facilitators use laptops to conduct the interviews through Skype normally, but other platforms such as Teams or Zoom were also used. And the facilitators guided the interviewees in their answers. When there were internet problems in rural areas, because some board members were in rural areas, did not have access to internet or means to participate in the interviews, these people traveled to the offices of their organizations to conduct these interviews.
Thank you, Jorge. This was an important learning on how to conduct interviews remotely. Sara, would you like to share the challenges you faced?
Some of the advice that we have is related to what Jorge said. The facilitators he worked with were still able to collect quality data, even by doing this virtually. Not only did he have a lot of experience, but he was also working with facilitators who had been involved in other SenseMaker studies that were really well trained. So I think the importance of doing a really thorough training of facilitators is extremely important. And then because of COVID-19, we ended up with a smaller sample size than is really desirable. So some of our questions, we had to interpret them with a little bit of caution because we were dealing with a smaller sample size than is desirable.
Two very important points. When we did the baseline, we did not make the investment in training the facilitators well. While in the final evaluation, we did use experienced facilitators, and that definitely makes a difference in the quality of the information and also the need to have a sufficient number of responses and people interview to really be able to observe patterns and above all, to be able to disaggregate by different variables. I think this is going to be very useful for our listeners. Are there any tips you would like to share with other teams that may be considering using SenseMaker? What would you do differently if you were to start over?
I already mentioned one of the key pieces of advice that I would recommend, which is just to really invest in the training of facilitators so you can have quality interviews.
Thank you very much, Sara. Jorge, any advice for the other teams?
The first thing is that sufficient time, effort, and resources must be allocated to the design, because it depends on this whether or not you will have successful results. You could have the best facilitators, you could have the best data analysis, and you could have the best people for collective interpretation, but it would be useless with poor design. Another tip is that for different evaluations of the same project, the same collection tools should be used. And if these are simplified, the less useful questions should be eliminated and the structure of the remaining questions maintained. This will help a lot in comparing different evaluations. And the last tip would be that all people involved in evaluations carried out with SenseMaker should, beforehand, know and become familiar with the methodology. This will greatly facilitate implementing the different processes and will avoid contradictions, methodological conflicts, and resistance to change away from traditional evaluation methods.
Very interesting, Jorge, for all the advice based on a long experience with the method. which I think our colleagues will appreciate very much. We are already approaching the end of a very interesting conversation with Sara and Jorge. So I would like to ask you to share three words that summarize, in your opinion, how SenseMaker adds value to the monitoring and evaluation processes, and to tell us why you chose these words.
I think my three words would be deepens, broadens, and empowers. So I think by using SenseMaker, we can really get a more holistic understanding of why we're seeing certain results, why we're seeing people adopt certain behaviors or not. It can help to broaden our understanding of the issue at hand in a really rich way that you can't get with other methodologies. And then lastly, I chose empowers because so often data collection is an extractive process from the people we're working with, but through SenseMaker, people are given an opportunity to use their voice, to share about their own experience, to give meaning to their own experience. And I think that's empowering.
Really interesting, Sara. So your three words are deepens, broadens, and empowers. And Jorge, what other words would you add?
I would choose that it is practical, visual, and participatory. And I choose these words because I think they're relevant features and give SenseMaker a competitive difference compared with other evaluation methods. And I think this is why SenseMaker has been attractive to the people who know it, both the people interviewed and the people who participate in the evaluations. Also, I think we're moving away from traditional methods to conduct qualitative evaluations, such as interviews and focus groups, and trying a new method that is practical, visual, and participatory.
Very thoughtful words, Jorge. Practical, visual, and participatory. So thank you very much to both of you for your time. It has been a privilege to have this conversation with you and to learn more about your experience using SenseMaker.
Thank you, Veronica.
Many thanks also to you, Veronica, for inviting me to participate in this interview. And many thanks also, Sara, for sharing your experience.